Does the sound reach to this room?
Well, if you speak, I'll try to amplify it and we'll reach it.
Yeah, why not?
But you know, how do you usually do it, Dayagaranga? If it's, we can do it there. We can do it there. Krishna. So, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nitananda.
Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nitananda.
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. There's a very beautiful chapter in the Antya Lila which describes to us very much the feelings in which a devotee should address the Lord. There are a couple of instructions which Mahaprabhu gave during his time saying how devotees should chant, and his instructions all circulate around the word nirbandha. What is nirbandha? We should chant with nirbandha. What does this mean, this word nirbandha? Nirbandha can mean that we should chant with a fixed number of recitations, a certain number of rounds, for instance, when you do japa. But nirbandha means more. Nirbandha means that your action must be combined with your thought. I think this is all very clear to us. Thoughtless action doesn't bring us anywhere. We will make many mistakes, be very unattentive and very spaced out. But if our mind and our actions are together, we achieve something which is called concentration. No? Only when the mind and the actions are brought together, we have concentration. When a devotee chants the holy name, he should do so with a nirbandha, his action should be combined with his thought. Now, what should you think while you chant? We usually hear, we should just hear. When Mahaprabhu says we should chant with nirbandha, it means we should think of Krishna. But how should we think of Krishna while we chant? We should think in a certain way. The way is described as chanting with a feeling of separation from Krishna. Oh my Lord, I am fallen away from your service. I have somehow come to this world, which is like an ocean. There's nothing fixed in an ocean, as we all know. So in this world, we can drift from here to there. So I have come here. I've fallen away from you. Now, my Lord, please be causelessly merciful to me and just uplift me to the safe shelter of your lotus feet. Advaita Guru Hari, good morning. You are not in the lecture at the present moment. This was an example which I have discussed with Advaita Guru Hari in Pforzheim and requested him to come here this morning and not concentrate. So his body was here, but his mind was, he was looking to the broccoli at the moment. What? To potatoes. So this is not an example of Nibbanda, where the action and the thought is put together. Most of the devotees chant like this their rounds. They chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, but the mind is with potatoes. Or computers. It's the same thing. It's made for matter. No, it's not spiritual. Categorically, it's the same. It's a different variety, but the category, material energy, is the same. So, Mahaprabhu, when he said you should chant with Nibbanda and Sarva Siddhi Hoya, that all the perfections will come from this, was referring to this point. Now, how do we do this? You know, think of Krishna, chant of Krishna. This is very nicely explained by Jagadananda Pandit, who is describing a process of devotion. So I don't know if this is all too complicated, but you can follow still. Yeah, it is called Atma Krandan, the crying of the soul for Krishna. It describes in a very practical way how you can enter the feelings of turning to Krishna and the feelings of separation. Ami Siddhi Siddha Krishna Dasa Ekata Bhule Mayarana Parahana Chiradina Bhule. The jiva soul who has forgotten his constitutional position as the eternal servant of Krishna, perfect and pure, becomes a slave of Maya. In this connection, he roams eternally in the material world from one body to another. See, when you forget Krishna, you come into the prison house of Maya. And the interesting thing is, that's why no one thinks it's a prison house, that you are moving in this prison house quite briskly. The movements of the conditioned souls are described in the following verses of Jagadananda Pandit, who says that sometimes we are born as a king and sometimes as an ordinary citizen, sometimes as a brahmana and sometimes as a shudra. We are suffering and we are enjoying, we are coming down to planet Earth and sometimes go to hell and sometimes reappear from hell as a demigod, sometimes again lose the position, get very much down and yucks, we are a rakshasa, a demon, roaming in this material world, Jagannatha Pandit says. We take one birth after another. See, because we are moving, we don't think we are in a prison house. No one moves like this in a prison house, you know, up, down, left, right, a king, a servant, demigod, Rakshasa, you know. But this is the speciality of Maya's prison house. It's a movable arrangement. And that's why no one sees I'm free. We think, well, we moved from Cologne to Munich. Aren't we free, Dayagoranga? We moved very freely. There was no walls. No, the prison house is of Maya is interesting. It's inside the head. You know, yes, you are imprisoned, Muniji, but it's no walls outside. They're all inside. That's why we are so deceived. We are internally free. Unfree. So here now it is said, one takes birth after birth, and then comes the greatest event in the life of a conditioned soul who is fortunate. Who of you could imagine what is the greatest event in all these many, many years of material conditioning? Yes. It's when you meet a devotee of Krishna. At that time, something very significant happens. You are able to get the first sign, the first step on the road of freedom from the devotee. What this means is, the devotee will tell you about Krishna and will bring Krishna consciousness into your awareness. And with this, this unlimited wandering of the conditioned soul comes slowly to an end. It's described, it's still a seed. It's not yet totally manifested, your freedom. It's everything is in the seed-like form. But now there is a potentiality for you which was not there before. Potentiality in Deutsch, Möglichkeit, a possibility has opened for you. Jagadananda says like this, he gets Sambandha Gyan and from the devotee, and then enlightened by this knowledge, he does not want material entanglement any longer, and he laments, "Alas! Why have I served this illusory material energy for so long?" My dear devotees, if you don't have this feeling in your heart, you have not yet met the devotee. You have met him in body only. Oh, here is someone very tired. I think you must rest. The way you look, you must rest today. If you meet a devotee properly, you will immediately think, why have I served Maya so long? I have been a slave. This realization is supposed to come up in your mind. Raghubir, this is very important. Raghubir, isn't it? Raghavananda, that's even much better. Raghavananda Prabhu. This realization, I've just wasted my time, is a sign that you have understood your possibility. You've understood. Devotees, the transaction with the devotee went properly. You feel a regret on it for the wasted time. You feel, I did a terrible mistake. Oh, wonderful. If you don't feel regretful, you have not yet really understood what it's all about. No, that is good. This is means darshan. Yes. Yeah. Look. Why have I served this illusory material energy for so long? You feel really no longer comfortable in your position. The Jagadananda says how this is. He bitterly regrets. Oh no, what did I do? How did I behave? What did I think about? And he cries out, Kenne bole Ohe Krishna.
Ohe Krishna.
Ohe Krishna.
Ohe Krishna.
Amitava Das.
Amitava Das.
Oh Krishna, my Lord.
Oh Krishna, my Lord.
I'm your eternal servant.
I'm your eternal servant.
Yes, and then at that time you feel Tomar Charan Chari Hoyla Saravanash. Ever since I left the shelter of your lotus feet, my life has been completely devastated. Completely devastated. I really ruined my life so far. See, when Krishna sees these moods appearing in the conditioned soul, that my dear Lord, I have really wasted my life. My dear Lord, I'm regretting this. Then Krishna becomes attracted to you. He feels, oh, now finally he is starting to cry for me. Finally this has started. Krishna is very happy at that moment. You know, for the materialist, this mood that I have wasted my life is almost like the greatest sign of defeat. For the spiritualist, this feeling is the victory feeling. Now you have woken up from the dream. Now you are ready to enter into spiritual life and seriousness. Krishna hears this, and the Shastra says, Kripa Kari Krishna Tare Charan Sangsar. Lord Krishna is so merciful that if anyone appeals to him earnestly, he immediately releases the jiva's soul from material entanglement. Not only makes Krishna an arrangement that you become free from your material entanglement, he does something else. He gives you courage in your heart. Because if your heart is not full of courage, then Maya will again and again draw you down, drag you down. You need to be fortified. Do you understand this English word? Fortified means protected and strengthened. With what? With the strength from the internal energy. In the verse of Jagadananda Pandit, he says, Lord Krishna fortifies him with his transcendental internal potency, and this overbearing power of the Lord's spiritual potency weakens Maya's influence on the jiva. So, let us summarize. You are a moving soul in the prison house of Maya, moving from one compartment to another. If you meet a devotee on your walk, on your path, like this, pang, then a potentiality, a possibility is born for spiritual life. But this possibility can only be taken up by someone who sincerely regrets his material life, who begins to cry out to Krishna, Oh, I wasted my life. This must be there. Otherwise, he will never separate from material life, isn't it? We will always, when there is a new opportunity for material life, we will go for it again. No? But only if we regret and make this distance will we make a healthy distance from this, and we can advance. I was on a 10 days fast. It ended this morning, and I must tell you that this fast was an Ayurvedic fast. Gopal knows what this means. Ayurvedic fast. You were, I think, doing it several times. And it is meant to get the poison out of the body, the arm. Now, I must tell you, very honestly, both in Cologne and in when I arrived yesterday in Munich, I broke my fast with sweets. That's the worst and most forbidden thing you can do. But I didn't think it's so important, the fast. Plus, I didn't feel that to take no sweets is the aim of life. I just was not committed to it, and therefore I broke it. You know. No problem. I have no, even now I have no regret that I broke it. I'm so bold that I'm saying it in a public lecture, which is heard by MP3 all over the world. Because I didn't regret eating sweets, you know. Therefore, when they were there, yoo-hoo, good. Some mercy is here. So someone who does not regret his material life, when it comes before him, he will again say, fine, this is the Lord's arrangement to a needy conditioned soul, you know. This is what happens when you are not going through this internal step of regretting your past material life, and then think you will go for it again when the opportunity arises. Just like someone who perform a fast, okay, the doctor says I will do it, okay, you know, but when the opportunity for a good cake arises, you know, he says this is also a very good arrangement in my life, you know. Do you follow? This will happen if you don't regret. And Krishna only becomes attracted, really, and helps you and gives you strength, like it says here, with his internal energy. If you really don't want material life any longer, if you still want to eat the cake, you won't get the strength from Krishna, the cake of material, the poison cake of material life. So this regret helps you to really make a distance and to attract Krishna's kripa, that he knows you are serious. Raghavananda, he knows you are serious. Now he gives you the kripa shakti. How nice Jagadananda says it. Do you feel also how nice he, in a few lines, tells us how to enter spiritual life? It is really very, very systematic. Here is the verse for you. Lord Krishna is so merciful that if anyone appeals to him earnestly, and again the word Nibbanda is there, his thought is identical with his actions. Then he immediately releases the jiva from material entanglement, and then Lord Krishna fortifies him with his transcendental internal potency, and this overbearing power of the Lord's spiritual potency weakens Maya's influence on the living entity. Hare Krishna. Hare Rama. Now you can start. I will now describe something, but I first want to hear from Dayaguranga something in German. Ich habe ein paar anspruchsvolle spirituelle Themen heute zu diskutieren. Ich möchte mich erkundigen, wann seid ihr soweit mit, dass der Sound weniger wird? Ist noch so 10 Minuten, oder?
Ich
hoffe. 10 Minuten, okay. Dann sage ich noch die einfachen Sachen. So I will tell you a little story while we are still in the noise compartment, but then we will go to some deep subjects. Yes, I will talk about Chaitanya Lila. In Chaitanya Lila, there is one very, very nice episode which is very much thought-provoking. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once was, when he was resting, he had a divine revelation in his dream, and he actually saw Radha and Krishna in the Rasa dance. He saw this. In the later part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he was really always searching for Radha and Krishna. He especially for Krishna, he felt like Radharani felt when Krishna had left Vrindavan for Mathura. He was always in a transcendental madness, thinking, where is Krishna? He would cry, and he would, by this, and everyone in Puri knew this three words, where is Krishna? Lord Chaitanya would ask everyone this question. Even at the simple people, like there was the Chokidar of the Jagannath Puri temple, Mahaprabhu would come to him, stand before him, and look totally hopeless and forlorn, and said, Chokidar, brother Chokidar, where is Krishna? And it was such an urgent call that the Chokidar said, come, don't cry, I show you Krishna, and brought him inside the temple, you know. There is your Krishna, there, look. Everyone in Puri knew this. So occasionally, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did meet Krishna, like this one, Ekadin means one day, you know. He saw Lord Krishna performing the Rasa dance. And Krishna Das Kaviraj describes how Krishna was standing there. Mahaprabhu saw how he was in his threefold form, holding his flute to his lip. He was wearing these yellow garments and garlands of forest flowers. And he looked so beautiful that even the Lord of Love was enchanted by him. Usually it's Cupid who fascinates everyone, especially now. It's his time, you know. He now has a new bow, the spring bow, and he will use it on all of you. Devotees from India, these Western girls don't know how to behave. Be careful. Cupid will enter your hearts. Yeah. Especially he wants the celibates, you know. Oh, I feel slightly different. This is ooh. Who said that the material energy is unattractive? I can see certainly some attractive features. Objectively, you know. What is this warm feeling I feel? It's called the burning arrow. That's what it is, you know. You will all see. Hare Krishna, Patrick, careful. Advaita Guru Hari, careful. So Mahaprabhu and Krishna is so beautiful that if you look at him, Cupid has simply no chance. He can just put his bow to the side and pay his obeisances, because Krishna is like the new Cupid, you know, the new victory. He's so beautiful, so, especially when he stands in his threefold bending form and he looks at his devotees. It's just amazing. So the gopis were dancing in a circle, and in the middle of that circle there was Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, who danced with Radharani. Lord Chaitanya saw all this. And he was overwhelmed, and he used to previously always cry, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" Now he thought, "I am with Krishna. I've reached my goal." He felt so wonderful. Now Govinda was in charge of keeping the times, and the time came where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would leave his little room, the Gambira, and take his daily darshan, you know, for the greeting of the deities. He would go there. And Govinda thought, "Well, my Lord has not yet gotten up. He is still dreaming and smiling and in ecstasy. But he will be very disappointed if we don't go to the temple at our usual time." So he awoke Mahaprabhu. When Mahaprabhu awoke, he was very, very unhappy, because he had lost that divine vision of seeing Krishna and the Rasa dance. But still, he went to the temple of Jagannath Puri for his daily darshan. You know where he stood? And I think it's known amongst us. At one pillar called the Garuda Stamba. Do you know why he stood there? The Garuda Stamba is quite far away from the altar. I mean, quite far. It goes through there's a whole hall in between, the Darshan hall, which is quite spacious because many people take at once their Darshan. Why was he in the back and not in the front? Mahaprabhu thought that there was one external reason and one internal reason. The external reason was that on his first time entering the Puri temple, he was so attracted, he tried to climb the altar and embrace Lord Jagannath. And imagine that would have happened. He would have been so ecstatic, he would grab the deity and then fall down with the deity from the altar. It was a profound danger, you know. So he kept aside, but his real reason was not like that. He would always go in front and try to embrace the Lord again. If a greedy devotee he doesn't care about social conventions, you know, when it comes to meeting his Lord. His idea was like this. Listen to this very carefully. He thought, "I'm not a devotee, but Garuda, who is on the Garuda Stamba. He is a devotee. So Krishna is known to look at his devotees. Now if I'm standing just next to the devotee, he will look at me. That was his idea. He doesn't look anywhere else than to his devotees. So I will stand next to his devotee. Then I also get the ray-like, the Kripa Kataksha, the merciful glance on the Lord. So he stood there, and he had just been, just had the darshan of Krishna in Vrindavan. When he looked now on the altar, which form do you think he saw? The form with the big eyes, the arms coming out, or? Gopinath, he saw the Lord of the Rasa dance, whom he had just seen on the altar. And he thought, this is my Lord. Now, this now is a little complex. I hope you will understand it. It's a difficult point. You will need all your intelligence now. And a little bit more, a little devotional purity to understand this. Now, you view the Lord as the Lord of the gopis only from the perspective of being a gopi yourself. The sakas don't see Gopinath. The sakas means the, you know, sakas. They don't see Gopinath. They see Gopal. So, this is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. I am your kinkari, your servant. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I'm the servant. I'm a little gopi, I'm serving like this. And now something happened which is quite mysterious and which will prove this point. But I want to make it a little bit clearer. When you say my, you ultimately say I. How? If you say, my country, India, it means I'm an Indian. When someone says, my wife, it means I am a husband. If someone says, my child, it means I'm a father or a mother. The sense of I is very much dependent on the sense of my. My temple, you say. That means you are Brahmachari from the Radha Gopinath temple. Right? You don't say my temple to Munich. You say it's one of my temples because I'm not only a member of one community, I'm a member of a movement also. But you would say, when I would ask you, where is your temple? You would say, Radha Gopinath is my temple, which describes your identity as a brahmachari in that particular ashram. When I say my movement, I will say I'm a Hare Krishna. Right? So my Lord Gopinath means a certain sense of identity which is there. Now you will see a little bit, now it's a subtle point, but as I said, you will need to think a little bit. Something happened during this darshan which is very mysterious. There was a woman who wanted to also have darshan like its nature, and she was small. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu was very tall. Who remembers how tall Mahaprabhu was?
More than 7 feet.
Sorry?
More than
More than 7 feet, let us calculate. 1 feet is 30 centimeters, or how do we... Something little less, so a little more. Yeah. So 7 times 30, who is the computer expert here? 21. 210. 2 meters, but because it's a little bit more, he was more than 2 meters 20. No, like 2 meters 20.
Yeah, like 2 meters
20. 2 meters 10, 20, like that. Oh. Now, how? What is your height, Krishna Shakti? Because you're the tallest of all of us. 1 meter 86. 89. So, 1 meter 89. Would you mind to just get just stand up so that we have a no? It's just for the heights. See. Now, yes, please wait. 1 meter 90. Now it's 30 centimeters more. A little bit more. No, 30 centimeters is really, it's really tall, you know. This really gets into high dimensions. It's Himalaya-like. Big. And she was small. Lady from Orissa, small. You know. And could therefore not see properly. So she decided, there is this tall person. I want to see Jagannath. And somehow, you know, maybe she was expert in cutting coconut. You know, she knew how to climb, apparently. You know, somehow she got on the shoulders of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and saw from there the deity, had her darshan. She had her darshan from there. Govinda Das, who was already a little tense because he had woken the Lord when he had this divine vision, you know, and the Lord was somewhat unhappy with this, you know, you have woken me, why? You've taken me away from Krishna. Now sees, with this tense feeling, there's a woman on the shoulder of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the best of sannyasis. He was certainly extremely disturbed, and she must have just exploded, said, "Come down!" and pulled this poor Vaishnavi down. And the Vaishnava, she didn't mean offense. She was just eager to see Lord Krishna. I was really eager. I mean, really eager to see the Lord Jagannath. And she noticed, my God, I've stepped on a sannyasi. Oh. offense, you know. Like we do, when we have made an offense, we do like this, no? Offense. Tongue out, you know, and really. And now, listen very carefully. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who would not even go close to a woman. He gave an example. He said, even if I see a wooden doll of a woman, my mind gets churned. He wanted to give the example of a sannyasi. He began to severely criticize Govinda for this act. He said, you Adivas. Adivas means like a little original tribal person. You know, tribal person. Barbarian. What?
Barbarian.
A little, tribal is the word. Some Adivasas in Orissa, you know, still have man sacrifice. They eat a human being. They are tribal, very much tribal. You know, you Adivas. It's a bad word for someone, you know. This is a very bad word. You Adivas, he said. Prabhupada translates uncivilized men. That's a very polite translation of Arivas. Do not forbid this woman to climb the Garuda Stamba. Let her see Jagannath to her satisfaction. It was all right. She should stay. You know, let have your darshan from here. Now, why did Mahaprabhu say this? There's another incident I can remember where there was a Devadasi singing for the Lord, and the Lord rushed towards her to embrace her because she sang for the Lord. But at that time, he was in his ecstatic mood of Krishna consciousness, an internal mood. One servant came and said, "Woman, it's a woman singing." Mahaprabhu came to his external senses again and said, "You saved my life." He would not have embrace a woman or have her climb his back and stand on her shoulder, you know, and serve as a watchtower for martyrs, you know, to have their darshans. He would not do that. That was only when he forgot his being a sannyasi and was in another identity, the identity in which he called the Lord Gopinath. Huh? You understand this? He was thinking himself of a sakhi. No problem when one woman steps on another woman. No problem. You know, we are amongst women. Are amongst women. They can act very freely. You know, they can. But he was in another identity at that time. Therefore, he didn't mind. Other times he very much minded. Ooh, he did not want to come close to the singer, you know, because. So then he gave an explanation. Mahaprabhu gave an Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, when he saw the eagerness, "Lord Jagannath has not bestowed so much eagerness upon me. She has fully absorbed her body, mind and life in Lord Jagannath. Therefore she was unaware that she was putting her foot on my shoulder. Alas, how fortunate this woman is. No? Aho Bhagyavati. Mm-hmm. How fortunate. I pray at her feet that she favor me with her great eagerness to see Lord Jagannath. I pray, Mataji, can you please give in my heart the same eagerness which you have? I want this very much." Now, just previously, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been seeing Lord Jagannath as Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, in person when he looked there. Now, listen to this. This now will bring out the subtle point which we have already tried to make. It will become very clear now to you. Becoming fully absorbed in that vision, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had assumed the mood of the gopis. He was in what we call gopi bhav. It assumed the mood of the gopis. So much so that everywhere he looked, he saw Krishna standing with his flute to his lips. Deka Savatra Murali Varana. The Murali Varana, Krishna with his flute. Deki Savatra. He had he had seen it. The gopis see everywhere Krishna, 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 Krishna. How do they see Krishna everywhere? They see Krishna everywhere by the strong feelings of, you know, separation. Raghavananda, you know everything. Yes, by the strong feeling of separation. There's a poem, it says, my Lord, if I should see, if I should choose between being together with you and being being in separation from you, I would go for the second. Because when I'm together with you, I see you only one time, one in your one form. When I'm separated by the increase of devotional feelings, I see you everywhere. I don't know if you have ever been in a mood of separation, maybe from a dear and beloved one. I do remember when my spiritual master left his body. That was very, very, very... I only could think of him. I could only see his face, you know, and I was crying. And only this. Couldn't eat for 1 week. Not even a cake. That was real. That was different, you know. When you really have that feeling of separation, you are outwardly separated, but in your heart you are together. Therefore, we Pralamba says, Alamba means to attain, and Vipra, that which is distant. By a feeling of strong separation, you attain that which is far away from you. So this is wonderful, wonderful secret of Krishna consciousness. So then Mahaprabhu went from this vision, his external consciousness returned, this is what we learn here, by Prabhu Bhaya, what is Bhaya means eternal, external, yes, Bhaya Haila. There was external consciousness again. And then his vision changed. He didn't see Gopinath any longer. He saw who on the altar? Jagannath. After seeing the woman, the Lord's external consciousness returned. First it was not there. He just said, Mataji, please give me your feelings of eagerness. But then after some time, the Lord's external consciousness returned, and then he saw the original deity forms of Lord Jagannath, Subhadra, and Lord Balaram. Hare Krishna. When he saw the deities, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought he was seeing Krishna in Kurukshetra. He wondered, have I come to Kurukshetra? Where is my Vrindavan? And he was very agitated. He sat down in the Gambhir. He went back to the Gambhir, and with his nail, he scratched the floor. He was blinded by tears, which flew from his eyes like the Ganga. That's so much. I have left Vrindavan. I'm in Kurukshetra. Oh, Krishna. He said, I found Krishna, the Lord of Vrindavan, but I've lost him again. Who has taken my Krishna? Where have I come? Where is Krishna? Yes. So, this is a little earlier we read about Jagadananda's feeling, which are important to start our bhakti. You remember, the soul becomes aware of his situation in this material world, and is he happy with that? He regrets. He regrets. It's a waste of time. I am really your servant. It's like he feels like I have eaten animal fodder while a beautiful plate is inside my house waiting with all deliciousies. You know, he feels I've done the wrong thing and I had the best opportunity. I've drunken from a well of poison, but there was the well of clear water immediately available for me. That was there. He feels regret. And he feels, alas, I'm your Krishna Das, Ami Tava Krishna Das. No? And you know, as much as you will wonder what these two things have in common, there is one strand. Could someone of you please tell me what is in common between this philosophical analysis of the position and the Leela which we have just heard? A certain feeling in which we approach Krishna. Muni, do you have some idea? In both cases, we are away from Krishna, yes, and we then begin to call for him in a feeling of separation. Yes, yes, and it's free that, alas, I made a mistake. I can see this now. It's a terrible mistake. Now, Krishna, please, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains, he says, Gopinath, is this your judgment? I am your servant and I have acted against you. Should this always be like this? Or will you take me to you? You know, some feeling of separation. Mm-hmm. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed by practical example how one can cultivate the mood of separation from Krishna. No? Practical example. He is a very practical teacher. So now, this evening, my dear devotees, we will enter into the mind of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. How does he feel the mood of separation? What exactly can we learn from this in our spiritual life? Mahaprabhu has, this is the here is a word which only an English speaker can tell us. The munificence means the sharing nature of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He will tell us in the evening, he will tell us what's going on in his mind. He will reveal his heart to the world. And we can learn this. Therefore, in the evening, we will come together. We will absolutely not be tired, but we will be absolutely concentrated. And we will learn this. And then we will hope it will come in our heart, Shikshastra, that something happens in our life. Some forward movement is desirable. Krishna. But now we will end here because time is also there. Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. It's so nice to hear this from Shastra. It's so revealing, so beautiful. And to think deeply about. Yes, there is some little time for question. Here we have, not really. Can you keep the question for this evening? If you can make a note if in case you forget. Yeah. And so this evening is question time. But now we really want to. Kadambakarana Maharaj gave a beautiful analogy. He said, we all want to taste the nectar of Krishna consciousness, but our cup is very small, very insignificant small. But he said, as you serve the nectar out to people, mysteriously, your own cup begins to grow. I think we all have this experience. When we share Krishna consciousness with others, we feel we have a renewed access to Krishna consciousness and go deeper. It's a beautiful analogy. Your cup, now I can also properly relish, you know. So we will now be very quick. Sita Rani, you will give us a few announcements, what we should do, or everything is...
I would like to ask, who has time to go with us to help to build the stage from the province?
Able...
Because we will leave now,
It's time. Able-bodied men. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Goni Dai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bhav. Your child, everybody,
Pretty.